Hello again and welcome to another episode of BitNote. This is David Collins and we're playing video game music and talking about the games that they're from. Have a listen and hope you enjoy. Hey again everybody and welcome to another episode of BitNote. I've got some great music tracks lined up to you tonight and the theme of this episode is war. So why don't we start off with one of the most serious and groundbreaking depictions of war ever, Worms! Or specifically in this case, Worms Reloaded. Have a listen to this track and hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
And what you just heard there was Forest. It was from the game Worms Armageddon, and it was composed originally by Bjorn Lynn for Worms Armageddon, and then it was remixed by Oliver Wood and Jay Waters. So, Worms Reloaded is actually a pretty great game. If you know about Worms, then you're basically talking about a nice bunch of little pink creatures all over the screen that somehow, through means that we never quite understand, have access to a gigantic arsenal of weaponry. The whole thing is turn-based, which means you could technically play it even with only one gamepad or keyboard or whatever, and basically each of you takes turns to take control of one worm on your team, try to cause as much damage to the other team in that turn, and then switch it over as it goes to the next person. It was developed, of course, by Team 17, an English studio who came around in the time where 16-bit development was very common, and so they said, we're one bit better. And, of course, the game also has a large variety of very hilarious weaponry, such as, for instance, using exploding sheep, holy hand grenades, and even super sheep, which are actually like the sheep which explode, but they fly and have a cape. It definitely shows the attention to detail that many of these games have. I'm going to hit you with one more track from this game, and then we will move on to a game that takes the subject of war slightly more seriously. Have a listen, and hope you enjoy. Thank you. And that was Outer Space, taken from the game Worms Reloaded. As I've said before, it was originally composed by Bjorn Lynn, and then remixed by Oliver for the game Worms Armageddon, and then remixed by Oliver Wood and Jay Waters. So I said after this I'd deal with a game that treated war a little more seriously, and hence we have the game Spec Ops The Line. Now, where do I start with this game? Well, it kind of took everyone a bit by surprise when it came out. It's based on the Spec Ops franchise, but I think the last Spec Ops games before this one was released on the Sega Dreamcast. And no, it wasn't one of those homebrew late ones that was created. So clearly the franchise had lain dormant for quite some time, at least over a decade. And then Spec Ops The Line comes out, and everyone's surprised, not just because it's a pretty decent shooter, although some people thought, you know, it was a bit mundane, but it was still, you know, a good shooter, but also because of its approach, its atmosphere, its messages. It's one of the few games that actually tries to actually say something, and what it says is actually pretty damn good. Basically, in most games, you go shooting more and more people over and over again through more and more... Well, not most video games, most shooter games. You go shooting people more and more through many different levels, and then finally you get to the end and maybe you succeed or whatever, or it has a terrible, terrible ending, as many video games kind of do. And I mean the nicest way possible, but sometimes game developers just don't know how to end their games. I'm sorry. But with Spec Ops The Line, it was one of the games that actually suggested that maybe killing all these people that you're fighting isn't exactly the best thing. And maybe, you know, war is a little like in real life, where the longer war goes on, the more likely things are meant to get worse than actually better, regardless of if you're actually trying to win. Essentially, it takes place in Dubai, after a fictional sandstorm has completely wrecked the city, has left many starving for water, and to make things worse, it set up something called a sand wall that for some reason blocks all transmissions, because apparently no one there has satellite transceivers or anything. Into all this come three soldiers of an American force who are told to go in there, report on the situation and figure out what's going on and come back and report. And they go in and they find out that it's a lot far messier than they thought it was. And part of it involves this guy called Conrad, who was a hugely decorated war officer who tried to bring an army in there to make an evacuation, and he's gone missing. So trying to go in there, figure out what's going on, and meanwhile the character you're playing at has this sort of connection with Conrad and wondering what's up with him. Now, the game takes inspiration from, you know, Heart of Darkness and Apocalypse Now, which of course Apocalypse Now took inspiration from Heart of Darkness, and I haven't really... read or watched either of those, so I'm kind of a little out of the loop when it comes to commenting on it, but I can say that the game just does something that I see happen far more often in books than it does video games, and that's actually try to feel like your consequences have, you know, more actions, that there's a moral or humanitarian effect to the things you have. And basically, it's also got one of these things where things start kind of bad and they tend to get worse pretty damn quickly, with your only option is to push onwards and try to just resolve the whole thing. But then, as the game said, is that really your only option? Well, we'll see anyway. But I'm going to play one of the tracks from the game. It's called Downed Plane. It's from a moment in the game where you see a crashed plane and you end up going through the game shooting things. I've noticed that crashed planes happen to play a bit of a role in games. I saw a video that said that they were in the latest Dead Rising game, Dead Rising 3, where you had to go through a crashed plane, and then also in Metro 2033 Last Light crashed plane. But anyway... In this one, like I said, you're basically seeing the whole of Dubai, and it's like covered in huge bits of sand, and things are broken or desolate everywhere, and gigantic pileups, and you go through a downed plane and end up having to shoot a lot of people who are shooting at you in the first place. And why are they shooting at you in the first place? Well, when people are shooting at you, you don't tend to have that much time for questions. But have a listen, and hope you enjoy. And that was Downed Plane from the video game Spec Ops The Line, which was developed by Jaeger Development, a German development studio. And the music there was by Eli Kamiral, who is a Czechoslovakian, who actually has a lot of, who's mainly a film music composer. He's composed music for a lot of films that I didn't recognize, Atlas Shrugged things, which I didn't even know were being made, and Piranha 3DD. On top of that, he's actually developed music for one other video game called The Last Express, which is a pretty well-known late 90s adventure game that I still haven't played yet, and I keep meaning to. When you're a gamer this long, there's always a bunch of games here and there you really kind of want to play or feel you should play, but oh well, that's the way things go. So, Spec Ops The Line. So what makes it kind of... what makes it different from other things? Well, a lot of people have said that it's not just a commentary on war itself, but also of first-person shooters in other video games, such as specifically Call of Duty. Indeed, in one of the most emotional scenes in the game, they actually take something from a Call of Duty game, or something that Call of Duty would do, and try to play it out a little more realistically. In some ways, it's a bit of a deconstruction of video games. In some ways, it is more of a just, this is what would happen in reality. In other ways, it's just a complete spinning invective against these sort of video games, which is kind of funny because you're basically playing a game that criticizes the sort of game you're playing. And if you're asking yourself, wait a sec, is this game actually criticizing me for playing this video game? The answer kind of gets to be a bit yes. But I mean, it's backed up by gameplay that I think is fun, and it's also backed up by some great writing, some great voice acting, some just it challenges you in a way, not just in terms of gameplay, but also in just understanding, getting a sense of what its themes are and what sort of messages it's trying to say, some of which are subtle, some of which aren't, some of which are very thinly disguised. But also, even if you put all aside that, it's a story. It's a story about a guy who's in a situation, who's got some responsibility and things that he has to do, and ends up, when he's in the situation, making his own decisions. And as his decisions continue, he finds their consequences, and even though the consequences aren't the best, he just keeps doing and doing what he can do and trying to make the best of this situation. And the whole question arises is continuing doing this really the best solution, or is it just making worse? Is continuing this objective really a good idea in the first place, or will it suddenly rectify everything you've been doing up to this point? And that's kind of one of the biggest themes of the game, and just trying to see how they kind of how the characters deal with more and more terrible situations and just try to rectify them, and things keep going and things get a little more out of control. That's one of the really great focus things about the game. And it all comes down to the final resolution, and unlike so many other games, the ending is actually good. It's just, it caps it off. A good ending makes you look back at everything that's happened before, makes you think about what you've done, and tries to recontextualize everything so it makes sense. And then when you play the game again, you can see how everything is slightly different in light of what you know about how it all ends. And that's something very great and powerful about a game or a good story and everything. And it's something I love about the game itself. In terms of the actual gameplay, it's fun. Generally, it's a cover-based shooter, third person, so it's pretty familiar. Maybe not quite as accomplished as some others in the genre, but I liked it, even though I generally not too keen on third person cover-based shooters. And generally, there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of neat little symbolism and a lot of tricks, and there's even a couple of sections in the game where you can play them, you have a choice in how to proceed, and there's even a chapter system so you can go back and try to play it a different way and see what the results are. So it's all very good. There's so many really nice touches to it, and I just really like it. I'm going to play you another track from the game. This is called Sniper Combat. It is also by Eli Kamiral, and have a listen and hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
That was Sniper Combat from the game Spec Ops The Line by Jaeger Development, and it was composed by Eli Kimura. I have one more track to play from this game, and it is from, quite frankly, one of the biggest climaxes of the game, which I said really ends and really caps everything off. They really do build up to the game. Build up to the ending. I'm not really spoiling anything by saying that, when they see a really high building that's in the game and you're told that that's where the guy you're trying to find is, that it's, as you gradually approach it, there's a sense of, like, build-up and tension and suspense. I've always kind of liked that device in games where you can see a very clear objective and you try to make your way towards it. I think Half-Life 2 is something a little like that, although you weren't always making your way towards it. Sometimes you were just moving around it, but there you go, anyway. But, the name of this track is called Truth Revealed, and if I say any more, I'll obviously be spoiling it. But I can say that when you finally try to get enough pieces to realize what really happened, you've got to make a choice. And that choice is one of the things that defines the game and pretty much defines you. And that's, like I said, one of the great things about video games. You make choices and you reflect on them. No other media lets you make choices. Music, you just listen to, films, you just watch. Choose Your Own Adventure game books actually do make you do choices, so they are an exception. But for the most times, the book just goes in a single line. But with video games, sometimes, and indeed often, control of what happens next is over to you. And the question is, can you live with that decision? This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening, and hope you enjoy.